Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Welcome, everyone. That was Carmen Lundy, Grace Simfiwe-Dana. Don't you love that? What a great opening for our conversation today. We're broadcasting from sunny Isles, Miami, Florida. And so if the connection sounds a little bit like we're underwater, because we are. And it's just a time we came to drop off our co-host, Sister Gita, here. But the show must continue and our lives must continue. And I don't like feeling going just a day or two without just connecting, really. It's about the connection. It's about the relationship. It's about authenticity. I think many of us can honestly say we are doing the best that we can. And yet, we can also honestly say we get a little bit lax, we get a little bit less than, and we're kind of hoping that somebody else will pick up the flack for us. However, that worked well maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe 30, 50, 100, 1,000 years ago, but it's not going to work now. We're in such a profound, powerful age of stepping into our power to make things happen. While we were coming down to Florida, we were reading something in our Merli, which is a class that I host every morning from the Brahma Kumaris. And the question was, do you have a lot of love for God? And the answer is yes. Would you like to embody the qualities of God? And the answer was yes for all of us in the car. And then the other question was, well, why haven't you become that? And everybody became silent. Everybody became silent. So then as we were going through this moment in time, there's a tractor trailer carrying Teslas on it. And everybody knows Teslas are my car. It's the only thing, I mean, I talk about Tesla all the time. I even did a show on the spiritual significance of a Tesla. And there passes right to our right is a tractor trailer with the Teslas on them. And I turned and I said to Santosh, our sound engineer, and I said, I've been talking about wanting a Tesla for 2 years already. How come I don't have one? And he said, do you really, really want it? You can't imagine what that did for me. I said, you know, if I really, really wanted it, nothing would stop me. I'd maybe take 10 jobs. I would make sure that I keep pushing the story forward. And within a week or two, I'll be purchasing my Tesla. So it took me back to the question that we had this in the car coming up. Do you really wish to embody the qualities of the divine? Are you really wishing to rise into your power? Food for thought? Don't touch that dial. Mary Floyd, Tony Otto is going to be with us, award-winning leadership and coaching executive. Before we get Tony on, let's just do what we do best here and hold the moment. Here is Monique Rhodes, Thich Nhat Hanh on the present. Enjoy.
Daily life, we think too much. And because we think too much, we are not truly ourselves. Our body may be here, but our mind may be elsewhere. In the past, in the future, and therefore, when you breathe in and out, and become aware of your in-breath and out-breath, you stop the thinking, and you begin to be where your body is. How often separated from each other. When you are not there, when you are not really there, you cannot see things very clearly and deeply. You miss everything. And that is the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness means to be aware of what is going on. And we are there by breathing in and out. So breathing in and breathing out is to be really there and to be available to whom? Available to your beloved ones, and also to be ready to encounter life, because life can be found only in the present moment. Everything wonderful, everything refreshing, they are in the present moment. Therefore, running to the future or getting lost in the past, you miss life. And therefore, breathing in and out is to get back to the present moment where you have an appointment with life.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Thich Nhat Hanh from Monique Rhodes' Heartbeat album. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. There's a lot going on in America as usual. We've got the students doing a walkout. It is unprecedented. They want change. They don't want to go to school and be afraid that they'll be shot, and maybe we'll never go home and see their parents. Rex Tillerson, I heard, was fired this week, and that's going on. And I believe Philadelphia or Pennsylvania has spoken up and is now no longer a red state. It's turning into blue. Since this is a pre-recording, I'm hoping that all my stats will be correct. And again, don't forget, we're down under here in Miami, Florida. So we're keeping ourselves as updated as possibly, as we can possibly. But there's such a powerful time. Can you imagine the youths on Capitol Hill speaking truth to power that we can't keep going to school and be shot? This is a week of incredible shifts and changes, to say the least. And it has been maybe a year and a half of too many changes. And there is a call, there is a loud call for leadership and the rise of the empowerment of women in our world today. Mary Flor Toniotto is an award-winning leadership and coaching executive. She is the CEO and founder of Power with Soul, Inc. and the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, a guide to transforming women's relationships with money. She is the creator of the Millionaire Difference Maker's Path, the wealth creation system, and an expert contributor to empowering a billion women by 2020. My good friends there, Ingrid Vanderbilt and the whole team, and also for Thrive Global Organizations. Mary Flor specializes in helping ambitious women, entrepreneurs, professionals, and leaders to reach financial prosperity and success while fulfilling their social promise in the world. Her work has been featured internationally in media outlets like Yahoo, Finance, Washington Post, and much more. And this being Women's History Month, who better to have a chit-chat with than Mary Flor Toniotto. Welcome, my dear. So glad you could join us.
Thank you so much, Sister Jenna. I've been looking forward to speaking with you and connecting with you. And yes, we are connected through Ingrid Vandervelt and Empowering a Billion Women by 2020.
Mm-hmm. Love her work and love who she is as a woman in the world, because now we have a golden opportunity as souls in the gender of a woman to really rise up and stand in a very balanced way, you know, where we have perhaps a less emotional bent and a less attaching way of thinking and making decisions, and yet still at the same token maintain a kind of dignity and grace and femininity that I think is one of the most appealing expressions of a woman in the world. Mary Floor, you started out in the corporate world, right? And I'd be curious to find out a lot more about you. Like, what led you to the path of becoming an entrepreneur and even wanting to help others? Because sometimes we're just focused on ourselves, not really thinking about others.
Yes, my journey, I've always wanted to be of service. And I actually found myself in public service. That's my original area of work in corporate. And I rose up the corporate ladder there and did a lot of social impact work. So I'm based in Canada, in Toronto, and I actually was one of the initial people who led the creation of the first disabilities legislation here in Canada. And so I've done a lot of work with impact on communities, women, children, families. And that was really very, very rewarding. And as I moved up the corporate ladder, it was interesting because I started to, it became more of just business as opposed to more service and social impact directly with people. And at that time as well, I started to, after 15 years, I started to feel like I really wanted to do more, that I had a bigger mission. But I was so busy having to do the work that was in front of me that I really didn't pay attention. And 5 years actually went by, and I got so burnt out because I was living like a West Wing situation in politics. And I ended up having to take a leave of absence from work because I was just so depleted. And it was that time, I was already a professional coach, I was already certified and trained at this point. And it was at that time that I made this decision that I really wanted to be of greater service through directly helping people, especially women, to become more empowered. Because, you know, just listening to you, Sister Jenna, of what you were saying before we started speaking, this is definitely the time for really tapping into the power of women, because women are still untapped power at this point in time.
Yeah, it's interesting because the awakening is long overdue. However, my observation is I'm not quite sure if we were even prepared to walk into our power. We're also simultaneously trying to remember what was the dignified state of a woman in the first place, you know, before it became violated. And I go back to the ancient Indian characters such as the deities, you know, whether it was Lakshmi or Radhe or Durga, a host of them. And what I go back to, or what I seem to return to in awareness, is if I want to model what it means to be an empowered, balanced, complete woman, I can be the stock market, I could be a race car driver, I could be a homemaker at home, I could run a country, but I should not let go of my virtues and a kind of a divinity and dignity that is like a God-given gift. In Indian culture, they have the story of the 108 Shaktis, and each of them possess one specific quality in which they allow God's light to work through them to destroy whatever challenges or circumstances that approach them. And I feel like one of the areas I want to hear about women empowerment isn't just about getting into jobs, equal pay, and positions that are required. I'm all for that. In addition to that, how does she model her self-worth and her self-respect? The way she carries herself, the way she sits, the way she eats, the way she converses, the way she looks at you. You know, she, you know, do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a whole learning curve for us to get back to what it was like to be a balanced, complete woman in her state of empowerment.
I absolutely agree. And, you know, someone once said to me, a very wise woman said to me that the time is always right for the time that is now. So you never really miss the train. So I agree with you that maybe perhaps we wouldn't have been ready for that seismic shift. And because everything right now is happening with the unearthing of masculine energy that is no longer serving us, and that we also as women and as feminine energy must now really claim our power. And like you say, it is a balance, yin and yang, masculine and feminine, claim to who we really are. And it brings to mind the fact that there's really a sense of now women feeling really self-confident within themselves at the very start of it all, before all of this balancing can happen. Because as women, we have the choice right now, especially where we're living at this place in the world, is to be who we want to be, and also at the same time still be able to have that feminine balance in increasing our self-worth. And it's
exactly.
You know, it becomes also, yeah, it becomes like a mindset shift, really, because I mean, in the book I talk a lot about what really is, you know, self-worth. And some of the things that I talk about is that one has to really have the conviction that one is worthy, one deserves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a conviction.
Yes, it has to be a conviction. It has to be something that she deeply believes. And Mary Flor, have you noticed that as women, we've had to compromise our self-respect and our self-worth for economical reasons? How many women do you know stay in a marriage because if they were to get divorced, they wouldn't live the kind of lifestyle that they've gotten accustomed to? One. How many young women do you see chasing after men who are, you know, twice their age just because they're economically more, you know, comfortable? How many women have you seen, you know, just sell short what their capacity and their potential is because the system wasn't set up to say you have an equal opportunity to do as much as you wish to do? And so there's a lot that we are having to go through to get back to definitely the self-worth area. That's the base as we begin to grow into money, manifestation, and miracles, which takes me to your book. You've been inspired to tap into something about, you know, what are the factors or what are the things that a woman really needs to really focus on now? Money, manifestation, miracles. How do we work through making more miracles happen in our lives as a result of the book that you've written? Please tell us about it.
Yes. So the book is really about a guide to helping women transform their relationship with money. And it's really the lens through which women can feel more empowered, increase their self-worth, increase their network, but also when, this is such a big message of the book, is that when women are empowered with money, they become difference makers because they not only change their lives for the better, but they will change the lives of their families and communities at large. And what's so fascinating is that women on average will reinvest 90 cents of every dollar that they earn back to family, education, nutrition, and health. And so I wanted to write this book because not only of the fact that women are untapped power at this point in time, but because of that fact where imagine a world where women are more empowered with money, how much more peace, how much more harmony, and how much more nurturing and caring that we can actually put forth and build together in the world. Because one of the things that is just so beautiful about the feminine connection to money is that we view money as a way to help others and to pay forward our own successes. And that's what really drew me to wanting to awaken women, to reconnect back to that, reclaiming their authentic power and their self-worth. And through this book, it's really using money as the lens, because it's really helps one to see where we can be holding ourselves back, because money it's either you have it or you don't. You're either stuck at some level of income or you're not. And so it's an easier, more tangible thing to see where you would be holding yourself back, because money is actually a mirror to how we are in other parts of our lives. And what I mean by that is, as for instance, a woman can be so caring and so giving to the point that she also doesn't think about herself. So, for instance, a situation could be family wants to borrow money, and even though she doesn't have a lot, she'll give what she has, and then she goes without. And that's an interesting story about money, but really behind that is she wants to take care of everybody else and wants to be so nurturing to the point that she doesn't have anything for herself. So this is a book about really balancing those dynamic powers of being feminine, and also asking for what we want to become empowered and doing what we want to become empowered.
It's so connected to our personality, because money is such an important energy today. And even though it manifests as a result to where we are emotionally or spiritually or just mentally, we can make it in a clean way. And we can make it in underhanded ways, you know. So it's interesting how we can manifest money in two different ways, with light or with darkness, and still get it. So I feel that when you touched a point that really, really went deep, you know, when a woman really has money, she steps up on the field with a whole different presence. And I look at Oprah Winfrey, I look at Kathy Hughes, I look at Ellen DeGeneres, and so many more. They step into a
and
room
Ingrid.
With a whole Yeah, and Ingrid, they step into a room with a whole different value within themselves. So what is so unique about a woman and the way she needs to understand the role of money in her life?
Well, you know, I love the fact that we as women actually have a really unique connection to money. And it's really interesting because of the fact that it's actually part of our DNA. And I talk about this in the book, that the female brain, to understand the female brain, we have so many more connecting brain cells than the male brain. And therefore, this helps us to become more like more of multitaskers. And that we also have a larger capacity for communication, greater emotion, language, and all of that. And if we look at that through the lens of money, women view money in such a different way. We view money as not something that's straightforward for just, you know, you buy this and you get that. But for women, it's really about not seeing money in isolation. It's about intricately being connected to our emotions, relationships, and meaning. And that's why when we as women want to think about finances and think about money and, let's say, make purchasing decisions, we take other people into consideration and how it would affect others in our lives, you know, our families or significant others. And so we really use money to express love and taking care of ourselves and sharing it and helping others who don't have a lot. And for the woman who has, like you say, the Oprah Winfrey, the Ellen DeGeneres, who walks into a room and has that kind of value, is because she's already worked out the kind of peeling the onion where she really knows who she is and really values her self-worth. And she understands how when your self-worth must also rise with your net worth. And as they were accumulating that money, they really started to gain a bigger perspective of the impact that they could make. And so they are the quintessential examples of difference makers, women who are empowered, paying forward their own successes, and really being role models and shaping how we can be and how we can use money for its greatest, greatest good.
Beautiful, amazing. There's so much to talk about here because it's a need. It's a need. You say that there are universal and spiritual laws, right, that govern financial prosperity and money. I believe that. There are universal and there are spiritual laws. And there is something governing the whole vibe of financial prosperity. Could you share with our listeners some examples of what you mean by this?
Yes, yes. And, you know, as we know, Sister Jenna, money is energy. Everything is in the form of energy in the world. And there's,
right.
In terms of financial prosperity, there are, we're probably very familiar with the law of attraction. You know, through the movie The Secret, like attracts like. But there are others. For instance, there's the law of clarity. And that law is really around the fact that when you're clear about your deepest desire, no one can stop you. And you talked about this at the very beginning. When you're really empowered, nobody can stop you. And actually, one of my most favorite saying is, never get in the way of a woman on a mission. And because of the fact that when you make this decision and it's aligned with your highest good, your highest purpose and mission, and the best of who you are, the universe does get behind you in some way because it responds by lighting up your next path. People and resources will start to come to you. And this is how, when you were talking about your Tesla, you know, if that is for your highest good,
I mean,
and everything is in alignment, it will come to you and it will manifest for your for your highest good, and likely for the highest good of all. And so that's what I mean by the law of clarity. Then there's also the law of giving and receiving, because there's many ways for us to give, whether we share our talents, we give of our time, or we do the spiritual tithing of giving and donating 10% of our income. And really, what's so beautiful about giving is it actually opens up the space for us to also receive. And it creates what I call a vacuum. And we may not receive right from the person who gave something to us, or we may not even receive it in that time. But what it is it's part of the fullness of the circle of abundance, where you will, at some point, it will come back to you. And it's so interesting, and I've seen this for everybody, I've experienced this for myself, is that especially when you give from the heart and there's pure, pure generosity of intention there, I find that the universe reciprocates so much quicker, because something incredible ends up happening. And although that wasn't your agenda, you are really rewarded with more abundance. And it will come to you at the time that you need it the most and for your highest good.
I'm feeling like on a personal level with you, Mary Thor, have you ever had like a really challenging moment where you got a little bit scared or nervous, like how is this going to really pan out? And if so, what were those inner strengths that you found later on when you did your review? You dug in and got there, and you were able to come out of that place.
Well, I love, thank you for the question. You know, I'm reminded about this statement that we teach best what we most need to learn. And for me, my real difficult time in my life was, early in my 20s, I had a very short-lived marriage, and what resulted from that is my beautiful, beautiful baby girl. But I found myself in my early 20s as a young single mother living from paycheck to paycheck, and I was really, really fearful of money. I was really fearful of everything. At the same time, though, yeah. So it was a really, and it could have gone either way, Sister Jenna. I could have said, oh, this is it. You know, I've really made a mess of things and I can't move forward. Or it could have gone, you know, it did go the other way to say, this is a defining moment for me. I wouldn't have thought it at the time, but of course, in hindsight, it was a defining moment for me because I really had to reshape my life. And I was inspired by the fact that I had this beautiful baby girl that I now had to support, and I had to build a better life for us and change my circumstances and really reinvent the kind of life that I wanted to do. And I did do that. I called upon the type of my faith was very much with me at that time. I called upon this inner strength that I didn't actually really know that I had, you know, at the time. But when we're called to greatness, we've got to step up. And within really two years, I shifted everything in my life. I felt so much happier. I ended up meeting my husband very quickly thereafter. And I went back to school, went to graduate school. And I really committed myself to being of service to others. And I felt like if I was ever in a position that one day I could really help other women feel empowered, because I know what it feels like to live from paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. I know what it feels like to go to sleep fearing, oh my goodness, I hope that rent check doesn't bounce. I know right. what that feels like. And so I thought to myself, and it took me years, you know, to get to this point to write this book, but I thought that once, if I was ever in a position to help women really feel empowered and to know that I'm not just speaking from a place where I'm now very successful, so, you know, look at me. It's nothing like that. It's more from the fact that if I can do it, so can you.
You can do it. Right. I love that. I love that. That's precious. Something that popped out for me was your money gratitude journal. I think sometimes we don't value, sometimes even just the small things. I think it was about 15 years ago. You know, I run a meditation museum in Washington, and there are times that Washingtonians aren't always the most generous because it's a nonprofit, and, you know, the doors are open because of, you know, the donors that offer whatever they can to the programs that we do. I mean, we're able to do over 200 events a year. So it gives you an idea of how much energy.
Wow, that's a lot. That's amazing.
Yeah, how much energy goes into the museum. And this is about quite a number of years ago. And I don't intentionally do the banking or think too much about the funding. But there are about three to four times a year I end up having to go there, having to maybe check it or go and see if we're in a red. You know, the accountant will tell me, you know, we're in a red, and I'll sit in faith and start to really, you know, turn to close friends. But I had noticed that when I had those times of checking the box, we would get checks for like $2, $5. When folks would do donations, it would be like $3, $6, $10. And I used to catch myself going, wow, you know, they just drove up in a Porsche or a Mercedes, you know. But then I thought to myself, this is now as I'm maturing. I'm like, God, thank you. That $2 is going to go such a long way. Thank you for that $5. That's going to go such a long way. And I can't begin to tell you, everyone, that turned around my spirit of intent and consciousness, that it just made me grateful that somebody even thought of just putting two. They could have put zero. And even though I know it's a call, you know, my staff knows this is the only year we've ever had a really rough time. And I've been telling them this is my first time even thinking about money. I said, it's okay. We're going to sort through it. But I'm remembering years ago when I used to not be grateful, Mary Floor, even for the person's pure good feeling of that $2 or $5. And now I will tell everyone, be grateful if the person even said, here's 50 cents. It might be all they had. So I want to talk to you about why you want to encourage women to keep a money gratitude journal, because I know it worked for me to keep my motives and intentions clean. That's what it did for me.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that story. And I feel the same way. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm really encouraging women to keep a gratitude journal because of the fact that what we focus on expands. And so if we put our energy to focusing on positivity and, you know, service and abundance, that will start to manifest in our external world. And people are familiar with gratitude journals. I mean, Oprah talks a lot about that. And, you know, they may already be familiar with journaling. So I wanted to take that same concept, and I wanted to take money and gratitude journal together. And so it could be, if one has a gratitude journal like that, it could be as simple as, like you say, writing in there, thank you for the $2, and thank you for somebody felt motivated to donate that money. And at the same time, when you're starting something like this, it's like building a muscle. You know, you start to, once you start to really, really put it into focus, you'll start to look for more abundance that's happening. But my story with Gratitude Journal is I write everything in there that I really am grateful for in terms of abundance. And so one day I was at the grocery store, and I bought some things, and I remembered that I had this gift card in my wallet that I had forgotten about that I could use. And so right when I took that and I paid for it, I just thanked the universe because somebody was kind enough to give me that gift card. And so I said, thank you. I feel so abundant. And my day started off so great that way, because later on in the day, I went to visit a friend and we had lunch together, and she wanted to treat me. So I was so grateful to her, and I was so grateful to the universe for that abundance. And then later on in that day, I go to a coffee shop and I win a free drink. So, you know, so I'm like, I'm so excited because, I mean, it's a little thing. And everybody was laughing at me because I'm jumping up and down. Like, I want something. But, you know, and then I get home much later on in the day that day, and there was a check waiting for me that I had been thinking about. So, and then in that night, I wrote in my gratitude journal how I was so grateful for any of that. And it could have just even been the winning the coffee drink. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that when you begin to notice it, you will begin to notice even more. And that's just the beauty of it. And after a while, we do that. I do that with everything now. And it's so instant in my life now that the other day I was thinking about, I hadn't heard about this or wanted to see this program, but I hadn't seen the replay of it for years now. And do you know it was on TV later that night? I mean,
there goes your power. You're creating miracles.
Yeah, I just love the fact that we are actually so much more powerful than we give ourselves credit for, and that we are always co-creating with the universe. And if we allow that, and we allow that to happen in our lives, and we say yes to it, then all of what these miracles can start to unfold in our lives, and it can be fun.
Well, you always talk about making sure that you're aligned with your intention in action, and that tends to create miracles. I'm thinking about our producer, Antonia. She'll come in, oh, I just want a laptop. Oh, I just want this. We'll go together, and she'll fill out a raffle ticket. I'll fill out one, and, oh, Antonia Silver is the winner. I was like, how did she do that? I keep telling her, you need to play the lottery, girl. You're losing your fortune here. But before I end, tell the women that are listening today, what practical tips can they begin to apply, especially because they're experiencing some money challenges right now?
Yes, there's two things, one at a mindset level and one at a practical action level. The mindset level is this, is to understand that whatever your current or past challenges are with money, they don't define who you are. Because you are in charge. of your future and of your situation and of your abundance. And on a practical action level, my suggestion would be to turn inward, really get in touch with what the pattern that you're seeing, really get in touch with what is that? What is the holding you back, or what emotions is that eliciting for you? And then use this book, read it, nurturingly apply all the steps and identify any deep-seated emotional blocks that you may have about money so that you can actively work on addressing it. And if you have an opportunity to ask for help, whether it's a financial advisor, whether it's learning more of being financially literate, or wanting to really work on your relationship with money and with yourself, take that opportunity because it will change your life. And then let this book help you not only transform your life financially, but also spiritually and emotionally as well.
Advice. Great, great, great advice. Are you doing any book tours in which we could get an idea of where to find you? And please leave us with a website. And I'd like you to come back on more so we can maybe just talk a little bit more about this role of women and money. I think we're in need to learn more about our value and that we deserve to have just as much.
Yes. Oh, I would love to come back and speak with you, Sister Jenna.
Thank you.
I love our time together. It feels so wonderful. It's a very beautiful energy. And people can find me on my website at maryflor.co. That's MERIFLOR.CO. And they will find all of the links around the events that I'm doing and all the interviews that I'll be doing. And they'll also find links where they can get the book, which is now available at your favorite bookstores, in the bookstore and online. And may it serve so, so many women all over the globe to really claim their power and claim their wealth and be a difference maker.
Thank you so much. Mary Flor, thank you, and lots of blessings and continued success. Give my love to Ingrid if you get a chance to connect with her. It's been a long time.
Yes. Yes, I will. I will. Thank you so much, and many blessings to you too, Sister Jenna.
Thank you, Mary Flora. Take care. So, ladies, I hope you got some tidbits, some snippets, some ideas, directions, and some empowered processes and how to really step into the power of emotional and economical abundance. It's a time, it's our age, and I know it's a belief system. Like I was sharing earlier in the conversation, I mean, if I really want something, is there really anything that's going to stop me except from what I'm thinking? So please go and check out Mary Flor Tony Otto, her new book, Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, A Guide to Transforming Women's Relationship with Money. And if you want to keep up with Mary Flor, please go to MERIFLOR.co. I think there's a lot there for you to learn. Plus, she's an EBW 2020. Yay. All right, remember, no one can take away your happiness. Nobody can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. We are here to love each other the same. We are here to love each other the same. Here's testimony by Sweet Honey in the Rock. Take care, everyone.
There's God like and warlike and strong like only some show. And there are sad like and mad like and had like we know. But by my life, be I spirit. And by my heart, be I woman. And by my by my hand, be I whole. They say slowly brings the least shock, but no matter how slow that I walk, there are traces, empty spaces, and doors of locks. But by And my eyes be I open, and by my hands be I hold.
You young ones, you're the next ones, and I hope you choose it well. Though you try hard, you may fall prey to the jaded jewel, but by
your life be you spirit, and by your heart be you women, and by your eyes be you open, and by your
from us in the maze we find them still. We'll take you to them. You take your young ones. May they take their own in turn, and by
our lives be we spirit,
oh.
And by
by our eyes
be we open, and by our